Wow, what do you think? What a voice. What a voice. Now, last week, we were giving away much sought-after passes to see Damien Leith in concert at Mandurah Performing Arts Centre, presenting Roy, a tribute to the great Roy Orbison. Damien, pleased enough to join me on the drive-through. G'day, mate. Nice to talk to you. How are you going?
I'm doing really, really well. Yes, actually having a lovely day today and looking forward to the show.
Yeah, well, you just were talking off air that you're doing a little bit of shopping. Mum and Dad are over from Ireland. That must be a bit of a buzz for you.
It is absolutely fantastic. You know, my parents, they're getting to a stage now where they feel it's very hard to do the trip. And, you know, it's actually been a really nice surprise that they've actually trekked all the way over. I'm in my element.
Have they seen you do, Roy?
They've seen it, yeah. They've actually, and they're going to come to a couple of shows over the next while as well. But they were actually, the first time I did Roy, all those years ago, which was about 11 or 12 years ago, they were at that first show. So it's great having them back out here again.
Well, speaking of Roy Orbison, why Roy? What do his songs do for you?
You know, I got the connection with Roy started when I was on Australian Idol. I performed one of his songs, and his wife, Barbara Orbison, got in touch and said she liked it. And I was like, well, that's amazing, you know. But it was from that one little connection that I started investigating his music, getting more involved in listening to his songs. And then I discovered that, you know, they really suited me, for one thing, but that he's really extraordinary. He's such a unique artist, different way of writing songs, different way of singing. I mean, really unique artist.
Has your voice always lended itself to sounding a bit like Roy Orbison, or have you had to change it at all?
No, you know, I just sing in my own voice, but there's little similarities. I use the falsetto a lot in my songs, so I think my voice just suits his music very, very well. But even in the show, we make a point of really making sure that it's me celebrating his music rather than trying to copy it or even trying to pretend to be him.
Thank you. You've just
I don't do any of that at all.
No, you've just answered my last question, so I can skip that one out. That's exactly what I was going to ask. It's not a cover band. It's singing Roy Orbison songs, and as we just heard, there's enough similarity to just, oh, it's just beautiful, mate. I got goosebumps when I first heard you singing Roy Orbison. And he, one of the great things about Roy, not just the actual tone and sound of his voice, but his ability to hit those high notes where a lot of artists would actually need to go into a falsetto, but he does that quite naturally and quite brilliantly. So do you.
Oh, you know, I'd love to tell you now that I can hit every note that he used to be able to hit, but that is not true. That would be a complete lie. His range is just, you know, extraordinary. It was out of this world. He was hitting high notes that you wouldn't even consider going to, you know.
Absolutely.
I think there was all these rumors saying that he had a 4-octave range, and I don't doubt it whatsoever. He was so low, but at the same time could go full voice onto, you know, high C's, high D's, you know, really, really high notes.
You're talking about John Farnham territory there.
Oh, right in that exact same category. Yep. Yeah, he could do all of that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's why I love your voice, but you can tell I'm a singer and a musician, and I absolutely love talking about that. But we'll move on to more interesting for our listeners. You mentioned Barbara, and she gave you amazing praise after hearing the album. She actually said to you, thank you. I applaud you for doing the Roy album. Do you imagine that praise would have come from Barbara Orbison?
No, look, never in a million years. You know, that whole connection with her was just, you know, it was one of those sort of things that I just never thought would happen. So I got a call from her. So this is 3 years after Idol. I got a call from Sony, and Sony said that Barbara Orbison had been in touch and that she wanted to record an album and wanted me to sing on it. And that call in itself was just, it blew my mind. I really thought, geez, I can't believe that. So I ended up flying over there and working with her. And she helped actually produce the whole album to put it all together. It was an amazing thing to be part of, and that's also what has given me that massive connection with Roy Orbison, purely because of that.
You must have had so many bruises on your arm from pinching yourself every 5 minutes going, what is going on here?
It was pinching myself, but also going around like a nervous wreck, because I was worried sick. You know, I kept thinking to myself, gee, yeah, this is Barbara Orbison. She looks after his estate. She looks after his legacy. You know, don't mess up these songs. Don't try and do something that's so out there that she might actually go, hey, wait a minute, have I chosen the wrong person?
Yeah.
You know, so But she was fantastic, and she was open to trying different things. You know, like Pretty Woman, we start Pretty Woman with horns. You know,
yes.
It's still rocking, but we've got a big horn section. So little changes like that to give it, I suppose, my own stamp.
Now, you also mentioned Roy's songwriting. Now, Joe Melson wrote three of the biggest songs that Roy ever recorded, Crying Only the Lonely and Blue Bayou. You've actually met him, and you are writing songs with him now. How this must be just crazy for you.
It's absolutely crazy. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. I met him about a year after my album came out. I was in Nashville, and we organized to catch up. And in that meeting, he said, let's start writing. So we started writing then, and we've been writing together now via Skype for about the last 8 years, I'd say.
Wow.
And we've amassed 60 songs, I reckon. And he's an incredibly gifted guy. And every time I do a writing session with him, I kind of walk away from it going, well, there's a reason why he had the success he had. Because he's so talented. I mean, even, you know, he'd be well into his 80s now.
Damn.
And it's mad. Every single time we have a writing session, he picks up exactly where we left off. He has no paper in front of him. He has nothing. He's straight in. He's like, last week we worked on this line. I've been thinking about it. We need to change it to this line.
Wow.
You know, and amazing. So talented.
So the songs that you're writing, 60 songs that you've written with Joe, any of them reminiscent of the early sounds of Roy Orbison?
Yeah. Actually, when we started writing, that was probably the biggest change that we had to make. We wrote for the first couple of years, and there was a big Roy influence. So we gradually had to kind of move away from that, just so that we were writing stuff that was kind of ours, and not necessarily, you know, paying homage to songs of the past. And I think over especially the last 2 years, some of the stuff that we've written, I reckon some of the best stuff that I've been involved in my career to date.
So
I'm looking forward to finally bringing those songs out.
Absolutely, mate. I reckon there's only one more feather in your cap, and may I be so bold as to suggest a collaboration with Jeff Lynne throwing in with you and Joe to finish it off?
Oh, gee, you know what? When I did actually the original Roy album, I did everything to try and get in touch with Jeff Lynne. I got out to agents and managers, and he's still on the wish list.
Wow. Well, let's hope it doesn't go away. Mate, you started, of course, back in 2006 on Australian Idol. Fair to say that was the launching pad for an amazing career. What's the highlight been for you so far?
You know, there's actually been a lot of them. And quite often it's smaller things rather than there's been some big shows and there's been a lot of that sort of stuff, which has been awesome. But it's those sort of moments of meeting someone that you really admire, like Joel Melson or other songwriters, or just little occasions where you'd walk into the studio and there's a hero of yours sitting in the room, and you just, only because of this launch pad is the only reason why you're getting to meet them, you know. So there's been a lot of those sort of moments where I've really had to pinch myself and go, wow, this would never have happened if I hadn't gone on that show. But there's so many little moments.
Have you ever said to yourself, what if I didn't actually audition for Australian Idol? What would I be doing now?
Well, I've said it to myself loads of times because I had no intention. I was never auditioning. It wasn't a plan. It was a spur of the moment decision. That's all it was. And just one of those spur of the moments is the only reason why I did it. So if I hadn't been, I'd be still doing music, no doubt, but I'd be with my day job as a chemist, and which was fine, but music is always in the heart, so it would have been hard to shift that.
Yep. Well, you've got the luck of the Irish on you, that's for sure, mate. You've got a beautiful voice and you've got a personality to match. It's been an absolute delight talking to you. Anyone planning on seeing Damien this Friday night at Manpack, I would suggest you get tickets very, very quickly, because I think after this interview and hearing your voice, I think that it might, I don't know, it might just be a sellout, but you can catch Damien this Friday night, Mandurah Performing Arts Centre. Damien, thank you so much for the chat. All the best. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Yeah, we will, mate.